Over the last couple of weeks, Renaud has been sharing with us what it is that the nature of worship is all about. The first week, we talked about the inner man, the place that worship is born. And Renaud shared with us, bottom line, that worship is born in us, in the heart of a human being, a man or a woman, when that person sees, maybe for the first time or for the first time anew that day, the incredible nature of their depravity, the incredible nature of the unworthiness that they possess in and of themselves. And then they view the incredible nature of the God that rules the universe. And they see the chasm, the difference between those two things. Man, in that moment, when we see our need for the mercy of God through the cross of Jesus, worship is born, because we see our depravity, we see the holiness of God, and we see the difference. And in that moment, we see our need for Christ, and in that moment, we see the provision of Christ on the cross, and worship is born in us. And the next week, Renaud shared with us again that worship is expressed in the outer man, after in the inner man we have received mercy and worship has been born in us. The outer man expresses worship every day, not just, you know, on Sundays or whatever, but every single day living life. And we talked about a couple of ways that is played out. The first way is that produces in us a faith in God. And as we walk that faith out, as we see in James, that faith will naturally produce in us good deeds. But not good deeds as some sort of way to earn anything from God, but good deeds that are produced in us as a result of the faith that has been produced in us, as a result of our need for God and seeing his mercy. And so we walk into this daily life where we worship God every single day, not to gain anything from God, but simply as a response to his mercy. And so tonight we continue the conversation, and we're going to talk through tonight what it looks like to worship God when we come together. Because all of us are living our everyday life, we're doing our thing, and as some of us begin to see the mercy of God played out in our lives, and that produces faith, which produces good works, we begin to walk out worship in our everyday lives. But then there's this moment when we all come together. And so tonight we're going to jump into that, and I want to invite Sean back up to the stage, because I don't know how many of you guys have had the privilege to connect with Sean on a personal level, but for me, when I first became a part of Mosaic, one of the things, I love to play the drums, and so one of the first things that I was involved with here at the church was playing drums. And so Sean and I were able to have some incredible conversations together, building friendship, and it was an awesome time for me. But I had a great opportunity to just understand and see Sean's heart as it pertains to worship when you and I come together here at Mosaic week in and week out. And so I just want to have Sean up here to share a little bit with us. Sean would prefer to sing. And he asked if he could sing everything that he wanted to say.
Let us pray unto the Lord.
And I said no. So thankfully, though, Sean, when you get him talking about something that he's passionate about, it's a beautiful thing. So as Sean and I just jump into this conversation, we just want to invite you guys into a conversation that has been had between us quite a few times already. And we just want to invite you into that conversation tonight that we have had over coffee quite a few times. And maybe we could even have it over coffee tonight. Yes. I don't know.
Marlene's going to bring us some coffee.
Look at this.
This is your cup, and this is my cup here.
Yeah, get that big cup. No. Yeah, that's all good.
I'll
drink the kitty.
This is how much talking will be done, I guess. I'll drink a lot. He will talk a lot.
I'll drink the kitty cup. Yes. It's all good.
I was thinking of you all day in that cup, man.
I love it. I actually really do like this cup. This is awesome. When Renaud leaves town, funny things happen. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, as we jump into this conversation, just what it is to see, you know, the mercies of God in our lives, And what that produces in us, this worship that is birthed inside of a human heart, and how that begins to live itself out in our everyday life. I guess a lot of people would ask this question, and I have been in the place where I've asked this question myself. You know, if I am connecting with Jesus one-on-one every day, I'm seeing the cross, I'm viewing his mercy, I'm you know, my heart is turned towards him, and that is what's produced out of that is an everyday lifestyle of worship that I live out for Jesus. A lot of people wonder, and I've wondered myself, why can't it just stop there? What's the need to keep it going on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night? What's the need for organized religion or organized church? Why can't it just be kind of like me and Jesus?
Do your own thing kind of deal.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty simple. It's laid out in Scripture for us. If you guys want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, we'll take a look. If you chapter 10 in Hebrews, and as you're turning there, I'll kind of give you a little background. The book of Hebrews is a great gift of us because the Lord just has laid it out for us, kind of as Renaud has impacted for us about the mercy of God. This entire book is leading and is explaining to us just an incredible view of God's mercy through Jesus Christ. And we go through the tabernacle and how God in the Old Testament laid out this tabernacle. And remember, as Renaud said, all these festivals that were had and altars that were built to remember the incredible work that God had been doing in their life. So it led them to be able to worship. And as we look at the book of Hebrews, we can take that too, as God kind of leading us and reminding us, look, here's what's been done for you. This is another way. And really kind of, I believe that us coming together is another one of those amazing things that God has given to us, to come together and to remember the incredible mercy of God and to celebrate God's mercy in our life. But we can take a look here. One of the most incredible things that we see in this is that is in this first verse here. It just keeps blowing my mind this afternoon as I kept reading it, and if this doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." Man, that is so awesome. I am so, so thankful just for that sentence alone, that we have confidence to come into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. "By a new and a living way opened for us through the curtain, that his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, as we were talking earlier, Joel and I were kind of just wondering, let our minds think about when this was written and thinking about the things that they were going, but even in the early church, we see that it was a necessary thing to write for them to not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And we see clearly in this whole thing, and Joel will unpack it a little bit more for you guys, just that is so necessary. It is so important for us to come together and just seeing it in all these things in here, to cleanse one another, to come and remember the work of Christ and to really just be a true community. There's so much. I'll give it over to you for a little bit, because you were saying some really cool stuff earlier here about this chapter. But
some of the things that stand out to me, just in context of what we've been talking about already, in verse 19, that is an incredible verse right out of the chute. It says that we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And right out of the gate there, we see the mercy of God that we've been talking about. And even in verse 22, It talks about having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And that's where, you know, this poverty of spirit that we've been talking about, even in the morning services with the Beatitudes, that we have this this guilty conscience when we see our sin. You know, that's why Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." When we see the nature and the gravity of our sin, that produces in us a guilty conscience. But thankfully, we can have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. So we see there poverty of spirit, mercy, and then what really sticks out to me is, you know, this idea of not giving up meeting together. He talks about spurring people, spurring one another on with love and good deeds, and it sticks out to me not giving up the habit of meeting together. And I kind of asked the question. I mean, obviously, it has something to do with unity. It has something to do with coming together and really worshiping God with one another. But asking, you know, how can I spur this person next to me on with love and good deeds? I think that what can so often happen is we walk into a worship service or a church and we think about how we can be spurred on by what we hear or what we experience in that service, but we're not necessarily thinking about how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And I guess my question to you is, in context of what it looks like to be unified, and I know prayer is a huge part of your heart, and one of Christ's, you know, most notable prayers is that he prayed that we would be one.
Right.
That we would be unified. And so I guess my question is, what does it look like? What does it begin to feel like when the church comes together to view the mercy of God and right. to spur one another on in love and good deeds? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you guys are familiar and remember when Jesus, you know, had gone and done his thing, you know, he told his disciples to go and wait. And they went away and they prayed. I mean, and they were praying. They were seeking after God together. And we read just about the unity that they would come. And God did some incredible things. And then in the beginning of the church, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's a really quick thing there, so I can just read it for you. But I think we want to kind of just unpack what this says here. Let me see where it's at. The fellowship of the believers, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone, I think that's huge to know, everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued and met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mean, we see the huge hint here of togetherness of them, the power of them coming together. And in this time, we can imagine that you know, coming to church probably wasn't like it is today for them. Like today, we can get in our cars and spend 5 to 10 minutes driving. For them, maybe perhaps they had to travel and, you know, walk. And upon that walking, they had perhaps persecution or had to get through all kinds of things. I mean, it was a struggle for them. But there was power when they came together and they believed that God did some incredible and amazing things. We even see, you know, in there that, you know, these incredible miracles were done among them and people were added to the faith because of them coming together. And we just, I think the crazy thing that really stands out there to me, I think, you know, we talk about a lot, but it's that part that everyone gave to one another. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, like this idea of coming around, you know. I think we talked a little bit early. I might be getting a little bit ahead, but the idea of coming around the table and stuff and sharing with one another, giving with what you got and stuff like that. But
I think that, you know, when it comes to the Acts church and what they were all about. There's a couple of keys in this passage, and the first is that they were all in one accord. Their hearts were turned towards the same thing. And I think often we all have our hearts turned in general towards the same thing. But so often it's not that we're looking at the same thing together. It's so individual, you know? And when it comes to corporate worship, I mean, there is such a difference between living out your Christianity at home and living out your Christianity in community. Sure. And you know, this passage gives us a picture of more than the Sunday experience or the big gathering experience. It gives us the picture of every day in homes, that they broke bread with one another. It was funny, right before we started our service tonight, Tara and Jason were talking to me and just trying to figure out a time when they could get me into their home to eat. if you guys want to know how to love me, that's the way to love me. Get me into your home and put food in my mouth. I just, you know, and the reality is that so often when we come to a bigger gathering or whatever, we're there for what we can get. We're not really there to look and find, okay, who is the person that God has sent me here today, now, to give myself over to? I mean, Acts 2:42 through 47, it talks about this picture of the church, that they are there for each other. They're there for God. They're there for each other. And I think when it comes to worship in a corporate sense, it's that we are personally impacted by God. We begin to live that out in our everyday life, and then we come together with the body of believers that God has placed us in, and we want to do what we've been doing every single day, all week long, in our hearts. We want to do that in community with other people. And so there's a difference in our thinking when we come together. No longer is it more of a mess hall experience. How many of you guys were ever in the Army or ever went through boot camp? Or Rick's not listening because he was in the Army. But when you come into a mess hall, can you guys help us out? What is that experience like when you come to a mess hall to eat? It's a pretty crazy, rushed, you got to eat in a few minutes. You got to grab what you can grab. There's no like, could you please pass the butter? It's like, boom, boom, boom. You're eating quickly, right? And I think that's so often what happens when we come to church together, is that we want to walk in and we want our latte stat. And then we want to walk in and we want to be welcomed warmly. And then after the welcome, we want to have a 15-minute time of worship, no longer, because that's just too much. And we don't want to repeat the verse or chorus too many times in one song. And then we want to hear a 22-minute message, no more, because that's all of our attention span that can get, you know. And then we want to walk out and we want our kids to come out with face paint on and with a nice little craft to give us that we can hang on our refrigerator. And then we want to walk out to our car and we don't want anyone to talk to us unless they have a greeter badge on. If they have a greeter badge, it's okay. And then we get into our car and we go home and we hit the repeat button week in, week out, week in, week out. And we wonder why we are not living our Christianity every single day. And so as we look into what this picture of corporate worship is, it's so much bigger than any one of the elements that I just described, whether it be the time of worship and singing, whether it be the message time, whether it be what happens in children's ministry. All of those things are such a tiny piece of the greater puzzle. And the puzzle is that you and I walk into community, not to an event or a show or a service, but we walk into community, we infuse ourselves into that community, and we walk out. And it's the difference between the mess hall versus the dining room, where the food is there in a dining room, but it's all about the people. It's all about the conversation. It's all about the fellowship.
Yeah. So. Hey, have you guys ever seen a military person eat man, those dudes, I think they can stick like an entire Big Mac in one bite, man. They are trained to get it done. You know, they have to take showers in like, you know, 40 seconds or something and get their food down and stuff too. I mean, just quick. But as we look, you know, he talked about the dining room. And, you know, our culture has kind of shifted. And, you know, the dining room table is not seen as the same way it was or may have seemed 50 years ago. But the dining room table was, you know, this was the meeting place. You know, all day, you know, this meal was prepared. And it was, you know, it was carefully thought out and detailed and put on the table. The children would, you know, would grab the place settings and set them out, right? I mean, it was an entire, I remember as a child for me, my mom would say, okay, you need to get out the forks and the spoons and the bowls and the thing and go ahead and set the table. And me and my sister would actually, I know Marlena, don't listen to this part. We would actually figure out who would get to set the table. And it was like this coming, you know, to share in this experience. And my dad was gone all day, and he would come home, and I would run to his feet, and, you know, we would fight over who would get to take his boots off. And, you know, I'll just, you know, it was this coming together. It was this excitement of where we would, you know, we would come from our different parts of the day and just sit around this table and you know, we would talk and we would say, you know, what happened in your day, or, you know, what's going on, and how did you do on that test, and how did you do, you know, out there on the playground, and dad would say, how'd you get that bruise on your head, and just all kinds of things of finding out. And, you know, God has given us an incredible place, and that's why we look at this, you know, like, coming around this dining table. And you know, the Lord told us, you know, that man does not live off of bread alone, but the very words of God, that we come here and we feast off of his word. As Renaud or one of the guys are preaching, they teach God's word and we feast on that, and that is our meal, and we share in that. And, you know, as we look at when you share a meal, I mean, there's things going on during that meal, right? You know, you get your mashed potatoes or whatever, and it's just, you need something else. You say, hey, can you pass me some of that salt or some of that butter? And someone passes it you from their side of the table, and you throw it on your plate and stuff. And it's this whole mix and matching and stuff. And I really believe that's kind of like what it should be here when we come together corporately, is we're sharing in this meal, you know, the Holy Spirit and God's word and stuff. And I've got certain things that I want to share with you, and, you know, someone else may have certain things that you want to put on your plate or whatever. And I love, there's certain times where I've been, you know, to dinner with Rick or with Renaud or somebody like them, that they are so into what they're eating. They're like, hey, man, try some of what I got. Hey, let me try what you got. And I'm like, what's going on with those guys, man? That's kind of weird, whatever, you know. But they so like to, you know, just share what's happening on their plate, this experience and stuff. And I believe that's corporately what the picture that God kind of wants us to have for one another. Like, hey, man, this is what happened in my week. Let me share that with you. What's going on in your life? Why don't you share that with me? You know, and this is so incredible. And, you know, God's doing certain things in our lives, and he just wants us to fellowship. And I believe that's what he says. You know, they came together and they fellowshiped together. They broke bread, you know, remembering the work of Jesus Christ. And we come together because we remember the mercy of God, the work of Jesus Christ. And we share how he's continuing to work that out in our lives during the week and stuff, you know. So the dining room table versus the mess hall. Get your food.
So I guess when it really comes down to it, when we look at what corporate worship is all about, I think it's so easy to put it into a box and say, corporate worship is the time when Sean and the band, or whoever it may be at whatever particular place you're at, leads us in a time of worship. And it's so much bigger than that. And that's the intentional part of, you know, when we get up every Sunday morning or Sunday night and we say, hey, just so you guys know, this is a place of freedom. We want you to have the opportunity to worship God, not just in song, but in addition, you know, we've got the prayer area in the back. If you want to write requests down so that we can be praying for them throughout the week, if you want to remember Christ, that we have communion available every single week, if you want to worship God through giving, we have the offering boxes in the back. That's why we don't pass a plate, because it's not about obligatory giving. It's about worship. And so when we come together, you and I, we are people who should be throughout the week viewing the mercies of God in our lives. And as we view the mercies of God in our lives and we begin to walk those out imperfectly, but we do, and we love it, and we see freedom emerging in our lives for the first time because, man, when you do things God's way, it leads to freedom. And when we come together, why would we keep that to ourselves?
Yeah.
Why would we keep that to ourselves? And so when we come together, then it becomes not just about what I can get, but what I can give. Hey, Sean, man, I was reading in scripture the other day, and not to look pious or holy. I'll just make that like a little sub note. We're not here to make ourselves look good. We're here to make Jesus look good.
To spur one another on.
Yeah. And so when I come to Sean, and he'll ask me a lot of times, hey, man, what's God been teaching you? And I'll tell you what. That keeps you on your toes. Because if I'm not spending time viewing God's mercy, I don't have much to say. Yeah. And the thing is, sometimes you run up against somebody who just needs to be encouraged. And you don't know who that is. They could be sitting right next to you. And so instead of coming to church with a serving or a fork, trying to, you know, a big fat fork, trying to eat everything that we can eat, man, what if we all came with a serving spoon instead? I mean, how incredible of a community would this be? It would be a place of incredible unity, and that as we all sing our individual songs of mercy to God, that those songs would begin to form a beautiful song that is a unified song, right. A song that glorifies God, not just individually, but together, mm-hmm. together. And if 100 of us are here and, you know, 80 of us have been viewing the mercy of God, then the 20 people who haven't, hopefully will come up against one of the 80 who has. And one of those 20, maybe it'll be 19 or 18 or 17 or 3 or 2 or 1 or nobody will be able to walk through these doors and walk back out without viewing the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more powerful when it comes from the mouth of one of you guys out in the lobby. It's an incredible thing.
Yeah, as he's talking, you know, about us having our own song, you know, our song of our life, which is to glorify the Lord and to really bring glory and honor to him and have a relationship with him. It's like, you know, all the stuff that Renaud's laid out for us of the inner man and the outer and all that stuff. And then coming corporately, you know, the danger, it was that question you first asked me, why? You know, why take that extra step and come together? You know, that you know, being left to ourselves, that's where the story has the potential to just kind of come to a wall. But God wants to open that up, and he is glorified when we share what he's doing in our lives with one another. And, you know, I think we still have time to play this little thing. Okay, great. Man, you know, music is something that we share and we love. We love playing music, and a lot of you guys out there love music too. There's nothing worse when music sounds bad or when things are just not, you know, tuning in and it's so eerie and frustrating and stuff. And so not that this is the total picture of what we think about when we talk about not being together, but this will give you a little glimpse. So we want you to just take just a couple minutes to listen to something that has the potential to not be corporate or could be corporate. And you'll kind of see, we're going to talk through this, I think, and kind of share what's going on and stuff. Take a listen to this.
You'll understand.
Yeah.
We'll probably comment as it goes, just so you know.
So, yeah, it sounds pretty good.
So far sounding good, right? Anybody know this song? Yeah, already we got some people recognizing. All right, good.
Life song.
It's pretty good.
So this is my song over here. I'm on this side over here. It's kind of cool.
It's like a round.
It's like an echo.
It's like being in church in the 90s.
Yeah. Left side, the right side singing.
It's like a round.
I like that. It's not too bad.
Kind of cool.
It's happening.
Some weirdness. Turn it up a little bit. I want to jam.
What's going on?
It's starting to hurt.
It's got to stop, man.
Oh no, it's a bad beat. I can't handle it.
Ah, it's bluegrass.
That's better.
That's what it should sound like right there.
And it's kind of silly, but the reality is this, that so many of us, as we view God's mercy, we begin to sing a song of worship to him. And it may not be a literal song, and maybe it is. But we begin to view God's mercy, and we begin to live our lives according to the mercies of God. That the inner man births worship, the outer man walks it out through faith, through obedience. But so often it stops there. And Sean's off singing his song over there, and I'm singing my song over there, and Rick's singing some song over there. It's the same song. And we're all singing maybe the same song, but if we don't get together to sing it together, it is so lacking, you know? And it can very easily, very quickly derail. You know, God doesn't just put this stuff in Scripture to give us rules. So, you know, we got to come together or we got to be in church and all of those kind of things. Because the reality is when you and I begin to view the mercies of God and we begin to walk them out in our everyday lives, when we begin to share that with other people, it brings glory to God. And for those of you who, like me, have been following Jesus for a while now, you know that there are times that the mercies of God are very difficult to see. It becomes cloudy very, very quickly. Life gets difficult. And sometimes you need somebody walking next to you that can say, "Hey, Joel, I know that right now the mercies of God are very, very difficult for you to see. But I have been viewing the mercy of God in my life. And let me tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to pursue the mercy of God. And in that moment, worship will be born in you again. And in that moment, you will begin to live out your life in faith and in obedience. And your life will begin to bring glory to God yet again. Guys, we need each other to worship God together. Together. It's not enough just to sing our own track off in the corner. Together. So when we look at what the essence and the nature of corporate worship is, whether your style is this kind of style, or whether it's maybe more of a style of another church, or whatever that may be, that's really irrelevant. What means everything is, are you a part of a body that you are committed to viewing the mercy of God alongside other people? And if that's here, man, that's incredible. If that's somewhere else, go for it there as well, you know? But whatever it is, God has called each one of us to be a part of worship in a corporate setting. And as we do that, we will bring glory to God. We will. We will. Not perfectly, but we will. So as we walk out from here, I just want to encourage each one of you guys. Our part to play in this is actually very simple. View the mercy of God. Walk it out and share it with other people. Look for opportunities to share the mercies of God with other people. Here in this place, come with a serving spoon and it changes everything. Because if we're all here with a serving spoon, each one of us will get fed and will enjoy the process. It's an incredible thing. We sing a song, but it's not crazy and weird. We sing it together. So let's pray.